Welcome to another City Coast Church podcast. For more information, please visit our website at www.citycoastchurch.com.au.
Wow. How good is Bundaberg? I love this new theme that we're exploring this month, to love where you live. But the fact of the matter is prior to 2022, I'd never been to Bundaberg. In fact, there was very little I even knew about Bundaberg. I mean, I knew you were responsible for producing Australia's most popular ginger beer, and I had seen your sugar on the shelves of the supermarket. I knew about the turtle hatchings at Mon Repo, and Dr. Patel put your hospital on the news, so I was familiar with that. And I was pretty certain there was an alcoholic polar bear living somewhere in the region as well. That was probably the extent of what I knew about Bundaberg. So in September of 2022, when the name Bundaberg implanted itself so deeply in my heart, it made no sense that it would linger there, that it would disturb my sleep, that it would distract my work day, that it would stir me up so much that one day I'd walk into Pastor Joey's office and go, "I think we need to go to Bundaberg." She dropped her pen, she dropped her jaw, she bugged her eyes out. "What has my husband just said here?" And within months, here we were, calling this beautiful city our home. It didn't make sense because I had no personal connection prior to it. But God planted something in my heart, and he planted something in Pastor Joey's heart that saw us pack up our lives, pack up our family, and head 5 hours up the Bruce to find a place that we were going to call home. Amazing. And you know what? Now I can go for a drive and I find myself flanked by green sugar cane and the red furrowed earth. I drive past black volcanic rocks and sapphire blue oceans and the silhouette of the smokestacks billowing steam against the pink and orange sunset. And I am just moved to my core. And I can't help but say, I love this city. I love this region. This is my home. And in the same way that my heart is moved for the beauty of this region, my heart also breaks for those that are lost in the darkest shadows of this region. Those that are lost and those that are looking, my heart is moved for them. So this coming month, as we explore love where you live over the next few weeks, I want to ensure, if you haven't already, that you fall in love with the city of Bundaberg. Not only fall in love with the city of Bundaberg, but have your hearts emboldened and stirred on into the pursuit of those that are lost within its bounds. I love this city. It's my home. So over the next few weeks, that's what we're going to look at. You know, the enemy is out there and he wants to brand Bundaberg a certain way. There are banners that he wants to erect over the city to say, this is who you are. Banners that say addicted, banners that say abused, banners that say broken or impoverished. But I tell you today that Pastor Joey and I hope with you alongside us, we are not going to stand and see those banners raised over this city. Instead, there is one banner that we're going to see erected over the city, and it's going to be emblazoned with the words, Jehovah Nissi, my God, my banner, and my victory. That is what we want to see over the city of Bundaberg. I'm going to get a bit excited this morning. You know, this is the story of Nehemiah. This man found himself the cupbearer of the Persian king. He was in a comfortable place. He had the favor of the king. He had wealth. He had a place to stay. But there was something about the state of his inherited home city that stirred this man's heart. While the city of Jerusalem lay in ruin and rubble, this man was moved to a place of action. He couldn't stand by knowing that this great city of Jerusalem would lay in destruction. So he set his heart on rebuilding the physical city. He set out to restore these walls that had been broken down. And then his heart was when these walls were established within the safety of the new city, he would then start to rebuild the hearts and lives of those that resided within that city. So this morning, that's what I want to talk about. My message title this morning is Rebuild. And together, that is what I want to do with City Coast Church. We want to pick up those bricks and we want to reestablish what God has called Bundaberg to be. Now, don't get me wrong. The things that Bundaberg are facing, the trials and the troubles that we find in our streets and in our homes are not isolated to just Bundaberg. In fact, all throughout the world, cities all over are facing similar problems and trials. But the difference is this is our city. God has put us here for this city. He's put us here for this time. He's put us here. He's equipped us and he's prepared us for this season. So I don't know about you, but I want to see the prosperity of God flowing through our businesses. I want to see the peace of God throughout our homes. I want to see purpose and God-ordained identity revealed to every individual in this city. I want to see this city rebuilt and in the fullness of what God has called it to be. Yeah. Let's have a look at Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11 and 13. Where do you begin? Where do you start with a mission like this? So this is Nehemiah speaking. So I came to Jerusalem and I was there for 3 days. Then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do in Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. Does that mean I can get a horse? That would go great with my Akubra. And I went up and down Boobong Street. No. Where am I? And I went out by the night through the valley gate to the serpent wall and the refuse gate, and I viewed the walls of Jerusalem which were broken down and its gates which were burnt with fire. Our first step is we need to assess the damage. We need to be aware of what it is we're actually fighting. You see, today when we look at our city, my heart is moved like Nehemiah's. You see, like Pastor Joey said earlier, we were part of a forum this week where we were discussing domestic and family violence, and they revealed to us that the city of Bundaberg is at an all-time high. In fact, they are predicting by July this year that the increase in reported offences from last year was going to be up by 39%. 39% from last year. They pointed out that 50% of our community is considered low socioeconomic. We see displaced people sleeping rough in the parks, and currently in Bundaberg there are approximately 600 households represented in sleeping rough. Then we have the impact of drugs, substance abuse, mental illness. It's running rampant in the lives of the people in this city. And I know that God has an appointment for us to step out and help rebuild this city. The church isn't called to hide within its four walls. It's called to go out there and pick up the stones and pick up the mortar and rebuild. You see, for us to get a true grasp of what our neighbors are facing in their lives, we need to take a seat by some wells. You see, in the Gospel of John chapter 4, we see the story where Jesus encounters a Samaritan woman. He positions himself in a place where he is ensured to have an encounter with someone, and this lady comes along. And what does Jesus do? He starts a conversation. I'm talking a proper conversation, not just preaching, not just condemning, not just judging, not just Bible bashing, but a conversation where he can speak, but he also listens. You see, he doesn't condemn her. He doesn't judge her. He doesn't turn away in disgust, even though at that time it was quite common that the Jews would look down upon Samaritan people. So socially, if Jesus had turned away, no one would have really expected anything different of him. But instead, he engages in a conversation. And in that moment, when he engages in that conversation, he sees her, he hears her, and he identifies that the need she has isn't for physical water, but there is a emptiness, a refreshing that she needs on the inside. By us taking the time to have a conversation, we can see the true needs of the people of this city. You know, I was reading an article on the challenges faced by homeless people. And it points out that the biggest challenge that homeless people are facing isn't whether they can be warm enough at night. It's not whether they have enough food. Their greatest challenge is within their minds. You see, homelessness puts an enormous strain on a homeless person's mental health because they spend an extended amount of times in loneliness. They have isolation. They have sleep deprivation. Anybody with a newborn baby will understand the torment that that can bring, sleep deprivation. They are in a place where their minds are all over the place, and a genuine conversation can bring greater good than a cheeseburger. Mind you, you add a cheeseburger to that conversation and you're going to have a happy person on your hands. But even better yet, you add Jesus to the cheeseburger, to the conversation, and you are going to change someone's life. Sometimes the need isn't the first thing you see, and you need to stop and take the time and talk to your neighbor and see what it is that they are lacking. That's what I love about this church. I see this church stepping into action. I love that this church already finds a way to reach out and to connect with the community. I know Matt and Tammy with their non-for-profit Let Hope Arise go out and they feed the homeless people three times a week, putting on barbecues for people that are just trying to put a bit of grub in their tummy. I know that Pastor Josh and Bo and Kelly, through their jobs at Pearson Services, speaking to the lives of youths that are at risk and broken families. I know Carissa heads up the pantry in an effort to engage and to connect with a community and meet their needs. I know Narelle participates in Christian education. Denise looks after the elderly and the seniors of this city. Pastor Ken, JP, Les, Bob, they pray for this city every Friday morning. Kylie wears t-shirts emblazoned with godly encouragements. She just walks around as a walking verse of the day. That's incredible. Gary kidnaps backpackers and tourists and brings them to this church whether they want to be here or not. He uses his Uber service to abduct and to change the lives of millions. You see, we are all members of one body and we all have a role in rebuilding this city. The way that we go out, it doesn't need to conform to the way that others do it, but we need to find what we can do. Don't undervalue what you are capable of presenting to this job. Ask yourself, what can I do and where can I be involved in this team? And that brings us to the second point. It's a bit of an Avengers thing. We need to assemble the team. You see, we gather the best, and we could recruit men and women with extraordinary abilities. We could employ the services of wealthy billionaires and genius scientists to rebuild our city. Or each of us, ordinary people, could just do our bit. We could identify what we can do and then go out and do it. This city is our assigned area of dominion. God has placed us here, he's granted us the authority, and he said, look around you, this is your assigned area of dominion. God has authorized each of us to go, to share the gospel, to heal the sick, and he wants us out there. Look at Nehemiah chapter 3. How good are these little ribbons? Sometimes I wish I had little ribbons in my brain. Pastor Joey sent me to the supermarket and I bought a new scraper for my barbecue and a chocolate bar, but what did she send me here for? Ribbon? Oh, that's right. Bread and milk. I'm in a conversation. Are you even listening to me? What did I just say? Ribbon? You said this. It would be life-saving. What was I doing? Oh, preaching. That's right. Okay. Nehemiah chapter 3. Listen to this. There's going to be a lot of names I'm going to mispronounce here. But then Eliashib, the high priest, and the other priests started to rebuild the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set up its doors, building the wall as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and the Tower of Hananel. People from the town of Jericho worked next to them. They know walls. And beyond them was Zakur, son of Imri. The fish gate was built by the sons of Hazanah. They laid the beams, set up the doors, and installed the bolts, the bars. Meremoth, son of Uriah, the grandson of Hakoz, repaired the next section of the wall. And beside him were Meshulam, son of Berechiah, the grandson of Meshezabel. And then Zadok, son of Benah. Next were the people of Tekoa through their leaders. I love this. Though their leaders refused to work on with the construction of the supervisors. They made sure, by the way, our leaders did nothing. Make sure you make mention of that when you're writing this story down. The old city gate was prepared by Jehoiada, son of Paseah, and Meshullam. Just every now and again, you'd like a John or a Bob, wouldn't you? Son of Besodiah. They laid the beams, they set up the doors, they installed the bolts, the bars, and next to them were Malatiah from Gibeon, Jaden from Meronoth, from the people of Gibeon, and the people of Mizpah, the headquarters of the governor of the province west of the Euphrates River. Come on, give me a break, Mum. Euphrates, and you call yourself my son-in-law. Next was Azel, son of I don't even know if you can pronounce that word. It's just sounds. A goldsmith by trade. That would have been a blinged out wall, I tell you what. And this is my favorite. Beyond him was Hananiah, a manufacturer of perfumes. Their wall was probably terrible, but I guarantee you they had the best smelling team on the job. You see, what I love about Nehemiah chapter 3 is it shows that the walls of Jerusalem weren't built by a singular gifted person. It wasn't established by one miraculous moment. It took ordinary people taking ownership of their city and playing their part. Even the perfume guy got into it. That impresses me. You know, they may not have been the most gifted of bricklayers, but smelt so sweet. And that's why I love this church, because I see you doing it in action already. You are incredible at this. Pastor Ken, I am so grateful that your team gather every Friday. I know that they pray for this church. They pray for the families of this church. They pray for the businesses of the city. They pray for the weather of this region. They pray that this city would be a city of God and known for the blessings of God over this place. And I'm so grateful that your team do that week in and week out. And it's this prayer that takes me to my third point. We need to be armed and we need to be aware. Would you agree? Pastor Ken, Nehemiah chapter 4 verses 7 to 9 says this. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to God, and because of them, we set watch against them day and night. They became armed through prayer, and they became aware by setting up their watch day and night. You see, we need to be aware that when we go out into the city to see it rebuild, we are going to come across some resistance. We were going to face attacks and there's going to be a fight. And I'm not necessarily talking about throwing fists and insult spitting brawls. We're talking about fights with those that are seen and those that are not seen. That they are going to come into contention with our attempts to bring Jesus to the lost souls of Bundaberg. Amen. And we need to be ready for this. We need to be equipped, we need to be armed, and we need to be prepared to stick it to them. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says this, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, that is not where our fight is, but we fight against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." So let's not forget to prepare ourselves in prayer. You see, the enemy delights in the brokenness of people. They feed on fractured families and failed marriages. They bask in the bankrupt businesses and the unbreakable addictions. And every attempt we make to rebuild this wall, they are going to stand ready in ambush. So we need to ensure that we have guarded our hearts in prayer, that we have equipped ourselves through the weapons that God places in our hands. What weapons? Joyce Meyer says this, "When Satan attacks, we should immediately begin to use our spiritual weapons, praising and worshiping God, praying, standing on the truth of God's word. When the enemy comes to speak lies, we should speak truth. When he tries to separate us from God, we should draw near to him." These are tactics and these are weapons we can use as we go out to the front line. 2 Corinthians 10 verses 4 to 6 says this, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God." For what? "For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." Who knows, there's a bit of that around these days. "Bringing every thought into captivity and to the obedience of Christ." We're packing. We got some serious firepower that's been ordained and set upon us by his spirit. He's equipped us and he's resourced us so that we're not just going out into the city in our own strength. We're not going out into the city on our own, and we're not going out without the resources we need to replenish, to fire ourselves up and prepare ourselves for the battle. You see, this City Coast is our calling. This is our appointment. We are positioned to see Bundaberg come to God. We need to understand that our personal salvation will see our soul saved, but our obedience will see a city saved. We could take that gift for ourselves and sit comfy, or we could identify that, hey, this gift is too good to keep to ourselves. There is a city out there that need it as much as I needed it. So let's get out there and make sure they are aware that there is a God who loves them, that there is a God who has a purpose for them. There is a God that sees value in them. Pastor Joey shared this verse from Jeremiah 29:7. Stealing everything from my notes this morning. It says, "Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For when it is in welfare, you also will have welfare." When this city thrives, we thrive. Can you see this picture? A city that is boldly and bravely in love with Jesus. Businesses that know the fullness of God's prosperity. Record low numbers in family breakdown or family violence. Education facilities achieving nationwide attention for their rise in their academic accomplishments. Government and council officials refusing to start a day without prayer and devotion. This is a city rebuilt. This is a city of God. This is a city that has a banner above it that says Jehovah Nissi. My God, my banner, my victory. These things that we currently face can be overcome by the power of God. So there are three things that we can do as we start to head out to rebuild this city. We need to assess the damage. We need to assemble the team. And we need to be armed and we need to be aware. But I want to look at a fourth thing that we need to do. In fact, this fourth thing is the first thing that Nehemiah did. Before he even set out to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, we find Nehemiah on his knees. in chapter 1, verse 6, he cries out to God. He says, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you, and end this both for my father's house and I, for I have sinned. You see, we have been called out in the city to be an active demonstration of Jesus' love. But before we can effectively go out and be a reflection of Jesus' love, we need to become familiar with the fear of God. Before we embrace the loss, we need to ensure that we've found ourselves on our knees and we've put ourselves in a place of repentance. That we identify that we also, like this city, are broken. And we need God to take our brokenness away and restore us into righteousness. So that is our first step. Cry to God. Repent of your sins and prepare your heart. So that when we go out, we are the most effective builders we possibly could be. When we go out, when we say, hey, follow me, that we are leading the people in the right direction. We need to prepare our hearts and make sure that we are adequately rebuilt. If the creative team could join me on stage, I feel a dance coming on. Not really. I'll spare you that. Listen to this conversation between Solomon and God in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Solomon has rebuilt the temple and he's cried out to God that God would hear his prayer. And this is what God says to Solomon in return. He says, If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. You can write those three down. Humble myself, pray and seek my face. And add this one to the list and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and listen to this, I will heal their land. Let's love where we live. Let's see this city restored and functioning in the fullness that God has for it. It takes a little effort on our part, but when we come together as a team, when we are equipped, when we are armed and aware, and when we're familiar with the damage that we're repairing and we partner that with repentance and the power of God, I'll tell you now, we are going to see some extraordinary things through the streets of Bundaberg and its surrounding regions. We are going to see some incredible moves of God. It says in 1 John 1 verse 9 that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So before we go out to rebuild the city, let's ensure that we have rebuilt ourselves. Those of us whose hearts might be a little broken, a little fractured, whose lives might be a little in disarray, can I encourage you this morning, allow God to come in and rebuild you this morning. If I could just get every person here to close your eyes and bow your heads, I want to give you an opportunity this morning. If you are keen to jump on and be a part of this team that we've assembled, if you're eager to be a part of this army of God that's going to bring change throughout this region, let's first ensure that you're in wholeness and repair yourselves. So this morning, maybe you're not a follower of Jesus. Maybe you once were and you've walked away. But I want to tell you today that if you're feeling a little broken down and a little destroyed, I want to encourage you that by inviting Jesus into your heart, he can begin to repair and rebuild those walls for you this morning. So if that's you, if you're feeling a stirring in your heart, I want to encourage you, just pop your hand up in the air and we'd love to pray with you where you are. If you this morning want to say, Jesus, come into my heart, I see that hand there. I see the hand up the back as well. I see that hand up the back. Three incredible decisions to say, Jesus, come into my heart. I want to live for you. Is there anyone else this morning to join those brave three people Just pop your hand up in the air. And we'd love to pray with you this morning. Thank you. See that hand there? Awesome. What an incredible decision. See, the Bible says if we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and confess with our mouths that we will be saved. And that's what you've done this morning. You've made a decision and a public declaration to follow Jesus. And I want to encourage you to say this prayer with me this morning. Church, if we could join in together, let's say this prayer together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you died on the cross and you rose from the dead so that I could be reconnected, so that I could be tied in to the family of God. I pray that you'd forgive my sins and come into my life. I want to be born again. In Jesus' name, we all said with a loud applause, amen. What an incredible decision you've made this morning. There is power in that decision, and you're going to see change come into your life, but there are some things that will help you along the way. Firstly, you need to get into the Word of God, and we can help you out with that. If you made that decision this morning, go and visit our incredible team over at the Hub. We've got a little pack we want to give you, including a Bible. There are some things in there that can help set you on the right path, help set you in the right direction. And Pastor John and Pastor Charmaine will be around the back there to connect with you as well. So get connected in with the people of the house. And that's where step two comes in. Keep coming to church. This is a walk that you don't have to walk alone. In fact, it's better if you don't walk it alone. Because those moments when you stumble and fall, there's someone there to lift you up. When you're weary and tired, there's someone there to cheer you on. When you have a victory, there is someone there to blow party poppers and streamers at you and celebrate with you. That is what the importance of fellowship is. And thirdly, get connected. Find a connect group, find a team, find somewhere where you can be engaged in what we're doing as a church, because I know God has called and appointed us to do some incredible things in this city, and I don't want to do it without you guys. You're my family. I want to be doing this arm in arm. So get involved, get connected, join a team. Let's go out and rebuild and love where we live. Does that sound good? Why don't we jump to our feet? We're going to go out praising God. Have a fantastic week. Listen to your neighbors. Find where you can build a part of that wall, and we're going to have an incredible time. Let's party.
Praise 'cause you're sovereign, praise 'cause you reign, praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise 'cause you're faithful, praise 'cause you're true, praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you are. Praise 'cause you're sovereign, praise 'cause you reign, praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise 'cause you're faithful, praise 'cause you're true, praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you are.